Good morning, everybody. I think I really could have just sung praises this morning. All morning. I actually really enjoyed that. There's one thing I was looking at this morning in Philippians. And that's in Philippians chapter 3. And I guess I'll start at verse 1, but I'm probably going to end up in 9. Because this is the point I really want to get to. I mean, the Lord's good. And through all my screw-ups, through all me being an absolute disaster, the Lord yet reveals Himself. The Lord yet shows how merciful He is. The Lord yet extends grace. Over and over and over again. And it's a humbling thing. And I'm going to read you what Paul wrote. I didn't write this. And I near not ever stood in anything like he stood in. This is something that Paul wrote, which is very interesting to me. Because even though Paul, the Apostle Paul, had stood in a place of the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and obtaining the law, and was, when it came to it, was most upright, still counted that as dung, as nothing. Finding him that he has not his own righteousness. I'm going to read a little bit on that this morning. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And Paul had it down. When he was talking about concerning zeal, persecuting in the church, man, he thought he was taking down those blasphemers that spoke against God in his way. Those Christians, who do they think they are? What thing did they come up with? You know, he really did it ignorantly. I mean, he thought that was the wrong way what these guys were doing, what they were preaching about Jesus Christ. Paul had a zeal for the Lord before he knew him. And it says, the touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Man, he was about that law. He was blameless in it, is what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. All those things that he was, being of the tribe of Benjamin, touching the law blameless, all those things he counted, it was absolutely counted as loss. I mean, they were nothing. It meant nothing. It didn't hold him righteous at all. It didn't save him one bit. And all that work he was doing just was for nothing. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the part I wanted to get to. Counted that he had no righteousness in himself. None. But the righteousness of God. That cloak of righteousness that God was handing out. Giving out. He fulfilled the law. Jesus did. Rightly. Without sin. He did that for us. So we would have that wedding garment at the end. Yeah, and I look back. I take a step and I can look back at screw up after screw up after screw up. Unbelief, sin, unbelief, my rebellion, all these things. I look at all those things. And I see that it's not about me, it's about him, what he has done. And how big his grace is. You know, I look at those things and I think, man, I'm utterly cast off. There's something freaking wrong with me. But yet the Lord saying, yeah. Man, that's the point, Philip. That's why I had to die for you. Philip, that's why I hung on the cross, and not for you only, but for everybody else too. That is willing to receive. And then he reaches his hand out and says, are you going to receive it? Paul says, if you can do it on your own, you wouldn't need me. And I look at that hand of grace and he's going, are you going to receive it? I'm willing to forget all that, Philip. I'm willing to forget all of it. It's already done. I've already done the work. I've already finished it. Once you walk into this rest, once you let go of that stuff, why enter into that rest, receive my grace, receive my forgiveness, and walk in it? But we have a hard time letting go. I know I have a hard time letting go. I see my wretched man. I've seen what I've done. I've seen those things. I have a hard time letting those things go. Because I'm going, how can God love me? I wouldn't. The Lord's going, well, don't put that on me. I'm not like you. My love is true and my love is pure. And in me there's no darkness at all. That's what Jesus is saying. Not that it just ain't for me, that's for you guys too. That's why I'm up here saying it. Let's receive that grace and that love and that mercy, and let's walk in that. Those things which held me back for a long time, which I allow to hold back, they don't have to anymore. They don't have to for you guys anymore either. I don't know about you guys, but I have those stumps, I have those barriers, there's things that I just can't seem to break through. And I know I can't break through them on my own. I know with my own work or my own deed or any of those things, I can't change those things. That old man is messed up. I can't fix it. But I know if I allow God, He can change those things where I can walk in His love. If I allow Him to do that work in my heart, I know He can straighten those things out. By His power, and by His love, not by my own. The Lord's been good to us and very gracious, and I praise Him for that. And I know as for me, I need to not reject that grace or that mercy anymore. No matter how bad I actually feel about myself or how undeserving I feel about myself, I really need to grab a hold. Because it's not about that. It's about His mercy, His love, His grace. And the biggest enemy I got walking around that keeps me from grabbing hold of that is myself. Truth of the matter is, I will never be deserving. I'll never be worthy of it. I'm a mess. I'm a disaster. I am one screwed up individual. If it was about that, all of us would be doomed. But it's not. It's about His love and His mercy, His grace, His righteousness. Not ours.
No. That thing the Lord kind of brought to me while Phil was up here was, we know where all we have come from, and we're all, if we're truthful about it and willing to admit it in public, we know how far removed from God or the concerns of the kingdom we were. We were, and in many ways still are, all about ourselves and being the center of attention. And what Paul here says, that it was all of what commended him in the natural, in his religious zeal, which was more zealous and more religious and more pure than probably anybody else. But that couldn't justify him any more than the accusations of the enemy about what you really are and what you really were when you came to Jesus can destroy you. In Jesus, all that stuff's but dung. It's what's gone before. It's constructs of your own vain imaginings. For Paul, the zeal and the success he was having was a construct of his vain imaginings. It was not something that was bringing him any closer to the Lord at all. His good works couldn't save him. And Phil's screw-ups couldn't curse him because of Jesus. In both places, it's the same. And, you know, Paul says in verse 9, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by him. That, you know, we've talked about abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus, being hid with Christ in God. That's what being baptized into the body of Christ, being identified with his death and being baptized into the body. This is the difference between religious pursuits of pious Christianity or Judaism or any other. There's plenty of religions out there where the followers are zealous and religious. And if you're looking at works, man, they do their stuff with a lot greater zeal and dedication than most of us pursue a relationship with Jesus. But that's the difference between the religions of the world and what should be Christianity. Is we're supposed to be walking out a relationship with Jesus. And what happened to Paul was he figured out how great it was to be in him. Not counting on his own righteousness, though it may be pretty good. If you're a man and you're counting it. But if you're God and you're counting it, then it's all about Jesus. Not got a damn thing to do with him. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. It ain't about Paul. It's about Jesus. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Because I got news for you. If you're not being made conformable unto his death, then you can't be made conformable unto his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's new life from dead. And if we don't get into a place where we have received of him unto the power of his resurrection, then what's your confidence in? Hope it's not in how good you are and how God could never send somebody as nice as you and good looking as you to hell. That wouldn't be fair. You go ahead and hang on to that. But stand a good distance away from me with it. Because it probably not going to be good to be you for very long. She's getting time to be thinking about where we've come in a year as we, like, 58 days out from the conference. And kind of brought me, made me mindful of some of the stuff we've received out there. So I wanted to look at, and I'm going to go to like four different places. So it's going to be kind of scrambled, but it's all saying the same thing. And I thought it'd be important to see how many witnesses of this idea there are. But that Paul counting all that stuff as dung. Listen, he had some, he was in a good place, man. He was well regarded, had high esteem. His Sanhedrin were his buddies. What he learned was, when the Lord was gracious enough to knock him out of his comfort zone, and I didn't mean knock him right off the horse, and flashlight in his eyes that blinded him. Let's look at Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Which, you know, if that wasn't hard enough to wrap your mind around, if that was the first time you ever saw that, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then the next verse, which makes great sense after you've read the first two, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? If you're talking about kingdom life and living with the Lord and having a relationship with the Lord, the cost, there's going to be a cost. And you're going to have to decide if it's worth it to you. It costs everything. He has to be more important to you than everything. I count it all but loss, that I may win Christ. How much of it? All of it. And let's go again, because there's another similar here in Luke. Ah, 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, the cross is that you have to take up is none of this is feels good to your flesh, and your flesh is going to be going screaming, giving you every reason in the world to go to hell and not to do this. Well, this is just so mean. This is just wrong. People aren't going to think you're nuts. Okay. Fine. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you're willing to lose your life, willing to lose the life that, you're 40 years old, you build a family, you got a house, you got two cars, a dog, a gerbil, whatever it is. Unless Jesus is more important to you than that construct that you've got there, you're not fit to follow him. Not fit. You can't work. It's just not going to work. Because the world you have built for yourself revolves around you. It doesn't care a lick. Whether God's being glorified or not. It doesn't ask the tough questions. So in all your screw-ups, you're just like counting on God like to write off the last 45 years or what? You've really become a good person now. That's not what the testimony of Scripture is. It's not the testimony of people who have actually done business with the Lord and walked away convicted of how desperately wicked their hearts has been their whole lives. But joyful. And that after receiving Jesus, then we write off all that stuff. The accuser can't bring that up to you anymore. It's covered. But in the same way, Paul can't sit there and go, yeah, but Lord, I did all this stuff in your name and many mighty works. And Matthew 7:23, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker iniquity. It doesn't work for either one. You can't take Jesus out of the equation. Jesus is the linchpin. You have to receive him and his grace and his mercy. You don't get there any other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But narrow is the gate. To eternal life. I would hate to actually have to be reading that one and compare what I just said to what it looks like in print, because I know I really messed it up. But it's the truth. All right, let's go. Now to Matthew. All right, let's see. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How many different times you need to see this? That's not one witness, that's not two witnesses, that's three. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. That scares me. So my works better be in Him. That reward of my works can be either good for me or bad for me. Depends on why I'm doing them. If I'm about the Father's business, then everything's going to be fine. If I'm about my own selfish stuff. Angie, stop smiling at me. That's just mean. That's just mean. Sometimes you need to self-edit to keep you from getting in trouble. But the testimony of now we have three witnesses. And we're going to look at another one. But if you want to be found in Him, be identified with the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, that I may know Him. This is about what we're doing here. We're not punching a clock so that everybody thinks that we're good people. Anybody that knows us knows we're not good people. Come on. You're punching the clock. Time's going to run out. It's going to really stink to be you. All right, let's see. Jesus has just astounded his disciples by saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And 26, they were astonished, They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? We always figured that if they were prosperous, God was prospering them. So that one just blew them away. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. How many things? All things are possible. And Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. There is a payout to making yourself absolutely consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying the Father. And it's for here and now. That's how you separate those who are pretenders from those who actually are doing business with the Lord. They don't look the same. They don't sit around, oh, poor, pitiful me. They have spiritual eyes and discernment, and they can tell when good things are happening. And they know it's not of them. Or they're doing, it's because the Lord's good. Not only. You know, pay the ultimate price, and all things you'd have counted for loss are actually lost, and you've walked away from them, and you're still talking about how good the Lord is, then He's going to bring all that stuff back to you because He's good. Amen. It doesn't say He's just going to bring it back. It says 100-fold. How much is 100 times nothing? It's more than 100-fold because it was absolutely worthless. It was nothing. Didn't prosper me in the kingdom. Didn't help me to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Didn't help me to know. It had me all bumfuzzled thinking I was all right. It was deceitful. Trying to send me to hell. Why wouldn't I walk away from that? Well, I had to be led by my hand. And the Lord was gracious and merciful in that. Why wouldn't you let Him do the heart surgery you need, man? Carve out that idolatrous, right in the center, that hard idolatrous center. And replace it with the faithful, merciful, and gracious heart after the Lord. He's trying to be good to you. Why wouldn't you partake of that? Why would you stay where you are and punch the clock right into hell? Why would you do that? Why would anybody choose that? Got his hands outstretched, man. Receive it. Take it. I wanted to save this passage for last because it's the only one that speaks to what happens after it's actually happened. After you've actually lost it all. After you've perceived that everything you thought you had that was worth anything was loss. When you get your eyes focused on where they need to be, then suddenly the Lord can actually move through you and restore unto you everything you need to do everything He wants you to do for Him and more, an abundance, so you can help others. How astounding that is. But we want to sit back in modern day religious Christendom and have a program, just like the government, have a program to do this kind of stuff. Well, the program is you get your stuff right, let the Lord restore all this stuff 100-fold, and you got all you need for you and everybody else around you. Because He's good. That's the Lord's program. Get it right with Him. Take His hand. Move on. Receive from Him. Count everything you've had as worthless. Absolutely worthless. Not only just worthless, but destructive. Deceptive and destructive. Taking you to hell. Worthless. That you may be hid with Christ in God. That's where you need to be. That's where your security is. There's no security in an event that has happened to you 20 years ago.
Well, you know, I walked down the aisle and I can made a public profession of faith.
Well, that's great. Where are you now? If you're hid with Christ and God, you're all right. But if you're counting on that event, could really stink to be you. Receive of His grace and mercy and be a partaker of His goodness. Get off the path to hell. I'm done.